We'll be in chapter 18, start with verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long will it be ere you make an end of the words, 'Mark, and afterwards we will speak'? Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He tears himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? And shall a rock be removed out of its place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and a spark of the fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks upon a snare. The gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knows not God." Now, we know that this book is not about a history lesson, correct? It's about our lives, and Job is who we are. And Job's name means what? Hated and persecuted. The hated and the persecuted. If we serve God, what are we going to be? Hated and persecuted by most of the church world. Not the world, but the church world. So, if we realize that this is about our life, it can change our life. If I think it's just a history book, tell me about something that happened thousands of years ago, I might as well go watch TV or something, go watch a ball game or something, go do something else, because that's not going to change me. I need to know how to apply this into my life, correct? We know we need to know what these names mean, what all these symbols and types are in here. In the first verse, he said, "Then responded Bildad the Shuhite and said," again, he responded, and Bildad means what? Confused love. Okay, confused love. That means it's mixed up. The Shuhite, and Shuhite speaks of wealth. So his love comes from what? From finances, wealth. And that's what he's considering love. If you give me some money, then you must love me. Is that the truth? No. Sometimes you give them money when you don't love them. Yeah. You're not doing them any favors anyway. And you can't buy it. "How long will it be before you make an end of these words?" he's saying. "Understand, and afterwards we will speak." He said, "Understand what I'm going to say to you, and afterwards we'll talk about it." So what Bildad's saying, "Let me have my peace, let me say what I got to say, and if you understand what I'm saying, then we'll talk about it." That sounds to me like an arrogant person, a self-righteous person who knows everything. That's Bildad. They go to church on Sunday. You'll get that in a minute. Verse 3. "Wherefore are we counted as beasts?" Or why are we counted as dumb beasts, the language says. He said, why are you saying, Job, why are you saying that we're just dumb beasts? "And reputed or impure in your sight." He said, why is this going? Why is it like this? This guy feels a little offended, I think, some of the things that Job has said. Now, if I am offended, who has a problem? Me. So if you're offended, who has a problem? It's always me. Okay. Realize if we're offended, there's something wrong with our heart. It needs to be fixed. Verse 4, he makes a statement, and there's a word left out. It should say, "He that tears what? His soul." "He that tears his soul in his anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you or set free for you?" If I tear my soul, is that what's going to straighten the world out? It's being obedient to God. "He that tears his soul in anger, shall the earth be forsaken or set free for him, for you? Obvious answer is no. And shall the rock be removed out of his place? If I'm going to tear everything, you think everything's going to be done just for me? This world isn't revolving for me, is it? Is it revolving for you? It's revolving for God. Whatever it is, it's for his plans and purposes, not for just us as an individual. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the flame of his fire shall not illuminate. But see, what Bildad doesn't understand, he's talking to himself. Listen to his words, how he entraps himself. He said, the wicked. Well, now, who is the wicked here? Bildad. Not speaking of the person, but the thought process he's working in. Okay? He traps himself in his own words here. And the Bible does say you're snared by the words of your mouth in Proverbs. It said, the light shall be darkness in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out within him. Now, he said the light in his tabernacle will be darkness. How can you explain that? That light will be darkness. It's the understanding. His understanding, he can't understand it, so even if it is light, he can't understand the light, so what is it to him? Darkness or ignorance. He can't understand it, so it's not light to him. The words of God are light. True, according to the book. But if you don't understand them, earlier in our lives, when we walked earlier in lives, did we understand the words? He's not seeing the spiritual, he's talking all natural. And that's what the religious system of the day is doing. It's no different than it was in his day, in Job's day. And it says, but and his candle, and doesn't Proverbs say the candle of the Lord is a spirit within man? So his spirit shall be put out within him. That means he's not going to have any life as we know it, as with the freedom we know it right now. Not forever, not for eternity. And the steps of his strength, or his course of life, shall be distressed, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Listening to himself will get you in trouble. Listening to God will get you out of trouble, or into trouble so you can get out of trouble. Figure that one out in a minute. Because he is cast into a net by his own what? By his own lifestyle. By the way he lives his life, he puts himself in a snare. And he lives upon a snare. That means his whole lifestyle, everything he does in his life is in a place where he could be entrapped just like that. Just in a snap, he's there. He's right there, that quick. Yeah. The gin. You know what a gin is? It's a net. Just what we're talking about. They change these words around. It's confusing. But it said, the net shall take him by his heel, or again, by his lifestyle. The net that he laid is going to capture himself. Snared by the words of your mouth. And the robber shall prevail against him. Now, who is the robber? The carnal mind. John 10. All that came before me is a thief, murder, a thief, and a robber. Yeah, thieves and robbers. Okay? It's carnal mind. So, and it says, the carnal mind shall prevail against him. If you have no light, if you have no illumination by the Spirit of God, it's an absolute fact that your carnal mind will prevail against you. You will be the subject to that carnal mind because you have no illumination. If your light is darkness, darkness is right where that mushroom grows, isn't it? That carnal mind just mushrooms right up and takes over, does everything it wants to do, and makes you believe you're doing what you want to do. It's not the truth, but it'll make you believe it. It said, the snare is hidden for him in the ground, in the earth, in the dust. Guess what that is? Again, that's our mind. The snare is in our own thinking process. The greatest idol we have is to think that we couldn't be wrong. If I'm not open-minded enough to say, I need to check it out and see if I'm right or wrong, I'm already deceived. You got to take a chance. You know, you can't just sit in a little shell and say, I'm in a bubble and I'm going to stay here because I'm safe. That's not necessarily true. Better not trust everything a preacher tells you, because going to church can be hazardous to your health. Amen. It can do that. Your spiritual health, anyway. And the trap laid for him in the way. In what way? In the path of life. The trap's laid for you in the path of life. When I walk my life, there's all kinds of snares and traps and rocks to stumble over and things, it's obstacles to be in my way. And that's why we're called overcomers. What are we going to do? He gave us the means to overcome all these things. It's already put with the deposit's already within us if we realize it. We have to know it's there or we'll never utilize it. See, if I got a bank account with millions of dollars in it, and I'm sitting here starving to death and cold and, you know, naked and have nothing, why is that going on? Why would that happen? Only if I didn't know I possessed that other stuff. And see, it's the same thing. God has put a deposit of, in us of gold worth more than the worldly gold. It's his nature of him he put in us. And if we don't draw from it, it's only because we don't know it's there. We don't know the deposit, that treasure is hidden in this earthen vessel. And most people don't know it's there, so they can't draw upon it. And our Father owns what? Everything. Everything. So if I realize my supply is unlimited, it said he gave it to us according to his riches in Christ. Right? Okay. What's limited in there? Nothing. Okay. So you got to realize it. If you don't realize it, you'll never draw it. If you don't know who you are, you won't be able to go to the bank and say, hey, is there an account here somebody's got for a couple million that don't have a name on it that I can have? Would you think they'd give you anything? But if I walk in and say, this is my name and this is my account and I'm here to withdraw from it, what do they do? They've got to give it to you. It's the same thing with God. If you know who you are, you have a right to everything he has. He said he poured out his spirit without measure into his sons. Without measure. That means it's unlimited. But we have to know who we are before we can ever make a withdrawal from that deposit he placed within us. Verse 11. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side and shall drive him or dash him to pieces or dash to pieces his what? Lifestyle. The terror, fear will destroy your whole life. I've known people that went to surgery. I know several that died. He had very minor cancer things, like a little piece in the throat. Went and got it and everything perfect. Absolutely nothing there, and died of fear. The man's eyes looked like a caged animal. He was so fearful, and he couldn't speak, and he had everything hooked up to him yet. And he died a couple days later for no apparent reason. Doctors couldn't tell any reason why. It was fear. And the book says this, men's heart, in the last days, men's heart will fail them for fear. Their hearts just popped because they were so afraid they was out of control. They couldn't control it. Guess what? I'm out of control. I'm not in control. Never was. Just thought I was. But see, they thought they had to be in control all the time, and by losing their control, their mind could not handle it. They died. No two that way. It's a shame, but that happens. Okay, where to leave off here? 13? 12. His strength shall become hunger-bitten, or destroyed, or ruined, and destruction shall be ready at his side. Okay? Destruction shall be ready at his side, or be prepared, I think is one of the words it says. He shall be prepared at his side. So when you get in this state of the light being turned out in you and not having this illumination, all this fear and things comes on you. Your strength becomes torn apart, destroyed, and destruction will be prepared for at your side. It shall devour parts of your skin. Even the firstborn of death. What is death? Carnal mind. Romans 8, verse 6. Be carnally minded is death. Carnal mind shall devour his strength. As long as I'm drawing from the carnal mind, what would I be drawing from the spiritual mind? Nothing. The only true strength there is from the spiritual mind. So I'm not drawing from it. I got to be deteriorating all the time. Okay? The firstborn of death. Okay, I got that. Start 14 now, right? His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle. Know ye not that you're the tabernacle of the living God? He said your confidence will be rooted out of your tabernacle. Like Barb said a while ago about the confidence people have or the hope that they have. See, it's going to be rooted out of them because of the darkness, no illumination. The only thing that's going to give you confidence is the illumination of God in your life. When you get that, you don't have to worry about anything else. You know who's taking care of it. Just walk her out now. He's walking with you, so what you got to worry about? If God is for you, who can be against you? Doesn't make any difference, does it? They can't win, so it doesn't bother you. And it shall, and that, and the word it there should be that. And that shall what? March him to the king of terrors, the carnal mind. It'll march you right into the carnal mind. You want to see something scary? Look into a carnal mind. That's scary. Seriously. That's scary, to look in what the natural mind conceives and produces out of it. You think Steven Spielberg spooky? Look into the recesses of the human mind. You want to see scary things. Because every atrocity that's been done throughout history came from out of the carnal mind. Every horrendous, horrible thing that's been done in life come out of the carnal mind. Jesus said, out of the heart of man comes all the evil things. They come right out of that little mind. People you wouldn't think would do anything can be some of the most horrific people in the world for doing terrible things. It's in the mind. Verse 15, it shall dwell in his tabernacle. It, what is it? The king of terror or the carnal mind will dwell in his tabernacle, his mind, because it is not his. Not his who? It's not God's. It's not God's tabernacle if that other thing's living there, is it? That's why we have to have what Ezekiel said, we have to have that heart transplant. Take out your old heart and give you a new heart, new soft heart. When the old one's cut off, it's dead. It can't do anything anymore. We need to draw from the new one. It says, brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. What is brimstone? Well, brimstone here speaks of a cypress resin, which is very flammable, or sulfur, and it literally speaks of purification. So on this tabernacle, see, a lot of people see this as he's going to burn them up. And that would reinforce their view in, are you going to burn them in hell? Well, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What it says here, he's going to purify them. See, because fire and burning is purification. So God says, I see a beautiful message in this because I'm not dwelling upon the negative. I see the positive of God in it, that the fire is going to purify this tabernacle that's in darkness. He's going to illuminate the tabernacle. It might get a little testy at times, but it'll be illuminated. It's going to be all right. It said, his root shall be dried up beneath, and above his branch shall be cut off. Total desolation to the natural man. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, true or false. It's true. So, who's worried about this? No, I'm not worried about it. Not the natural. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no what? In the street. What it literally says, he'll have no nature, authority, or honor, or character here in the streets, or in the outward appearance. It says the name of the wicked shall never be what? Renowned or remembered. If I'm going to be the natural man, when I get through here, I'm history. I'm gone. There's nothing else that doesn't make any difference. But if I live as the spiritual man and walk just like Jesus walked as the pattern, then our remembrance goes on because we'll never die. Didn't it say he's alive forevermore? Well, we have to be too. Okay. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased from the what? Literally it says not cosmos, that's Greek. Okay, here it says the habitable part of the earth. He'll be chased out of the habitable part. There's only one part of earth that's habitable. That's the one I'm sitting in, the one you're sitting in. This is earth. We're made from the earth. So this is the part that's habitable. He's going to be driven out here. Well, see, they see that as a negative. I see that as a positive. If I'm driven out of this earth flesh suit I'm wearing, guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be right back in the spirit. He's going to drive you. In Ecclesiastes, what did Solomon write and say? When we die, the dust returns to the earth and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So if my dust goes away, what's left? Spirit. I see the positive side of it. I'm not dwelling in that man's eternal hell realm. I'm dwelling in God's realm. He shall neither have son nor nephew. That's not exactly what it should say. It should say he shall neither have son nor offspring among his people. Means he's not going to reproduce anything. Well, that's a good thing. What do I want to reproduce the natural for? I want to reproduce spiritual. I don't want the natural, I want the spiritual. Nor any remaining in his dwellings. And literally it should say this. Nor any survivors where he lived. Any place I lived, I shouldn't leave any survivors of the natural. That's got a little chuckle there for me. I see something. They that come, what? After? I'm trying to see something here. Hang on just a minute. Those that are seized with terror shall be astonished in his days. What it should say. they that are seized with terror shall be astonished at his day. And they that went before were affrighted. Let me say it again. I said something wrong here. Sometimes I get some things crossed in my mind as I'm reading. I've got so many notes I'm trying to read through here on my Bible, and they're little tiny things. My eyes are getting worse, so no excuses. That's just the way it is. They that come after him, the word after should really be from the west, that come from the west shall be astonished at his day, and they that came from the east were seized with terror about his day. So why are they affrighted? Why are they terrorized? Why are they seized with terror about his day? Those that come from the east and the west. That's also past and future. Huh? Well, because of fear, they're walking the same course. If you saw somebody walking the same course you're walking and see what happened to him, what would you think is happening to you? You'd be seeing the same thing come upon you, and you already start that fear working in your mind. Those cherubims start working for you, and you've already got it going. Huh? Dread. Oh, yes. That dread and what's going to come. Now, Bildad goes ahead and says this. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knows not God. Now, you know what he just said? Y'all going to hell. God didn't say it. That's what Bildad was implying. He's condemnation and guilt. He said, surely such are, and that's present tense word, right? The dwellings of the wicked. All this, he said, this is because you're wicked. These things happen because you're wicked. And this is the place of him that knows not God. He's saying, you ain't got no prayer. You got no hope in nothing. He was judging him by his experiences. And see, we all experience bad things in our life. And Bildad was judging him by his outward expression, his outward appearance, by what was going on in his life, in his experiences, not judging him by what God said. He was giving him his own opinion about everything. Well, you know what? Everybody has got to go through hard things. Everybody. Nobody gets a free pass. Nobody gets a get out of jail free card like them. Well, when I was in the church realm with the church for years, you know, if you got sick, must be a devil doing it to you. When my back got injured, I had preachers come to me and say, what kind of sin are you in? Well, what's sin got to do with ruptured discs? I never heard that. I can't find chapter or verse on that one, you know. So, but see, it's where they're at. And I love the men who accuse me. I really do. But they don't understand. They're in ignorance. Sure he does. And they're accusers, but you have to learn to love them. If I don't have an accuser, if I don't have a betrayer, if I don't have a Judas in my life, will I ever experience what Jesus did? He had to experience that, so if he did, I got to. And I got to do it with the right attitude in my heart, not being angry and have retaliation in my heart and want to get even revenge with somebody. I got to do it and let it go. Let it do its work in me. God has something planned for each and every one of us, and we have to let that thing work in our life that God has placed there, even if it's Bill. It make no difference. Or Jennifer, anything. I mean, we could all name names and put a lot of people in there, but those are put in our lives for those very things. They got to bring about a work in us. And that's just let them go, because they'll take care of themselves. No, you don't have. Once you come to this understanding of tabernacles in the third day, you don't even have the ability to respond anymore to anger, because you've had the heart transplant. See, Jesus said, "In the third day, I'll be perfected." Well, if I walk into the third day, I got to be perfected too. And when you're perfected, then you can't use the old thought process out of that old mind that He changed and gave you the mind of Christ. I can't think retaliation, revenge, hurt, all that stuff. Can't do it. And you can have love and compassion on them because you understand they don't understand. They don't have a clue, and they don't have a clue they don't have a clue, but you do. It's okay.
Well, that's fine.
Because you're changing, they're not.
When you walk through things that's hard, and we've all walked through things that's hard, and that's more or less to experience those, to share them with the people that we come across in our path.
It's not just for us. It's for everybody. I mean, when Jesus walked through his life, did he do it just for himself? He did it for the whole world. Who are we doing it for? Thank you.
Whoever puts in our path.
Everybody. we're laying our life down just like he laid his life down. Maybe we're not going to be nailed to the tree physically, but oh, I've had a lot of offers. They'd hang me there. It's okay. I mean, religious people, boy, they don't like it at all. They do not like the truth of God. If they killed Jesus for the truth, and the preachers read this book, and they can't even read it and say what he said, because if they did, they wouldn't have a job. The religious folk don't like it. The Pharisees just don't like the truth. They want it their way. Because I know Jesus said many times in his book, in the words he spoke, he said, if I am lifted up, signifying the death of the cross, I will draw all humanity to me. Who did it leave out? Nobody. How come the preachers won't tell you that? See, got a problem. They can't tell the truth if they don't know it. And they may be wonderful people, but see, if I tell you something that is a lie, but I believe it to be the truth, what is it? Still a lie. Still a lie. It's a truly spoken lie is what it is. Well, seriously, that's what it is. They truly spoke what they believed to be truth, but it was a lie. So to them, they saw it as truth, but it was still a lie. And it's an ignorant statement, but there's so many people out here that's preaching this without any understanding of God. They've never spent the time to spend time with God for years with him to get ready. They want to go to a seminary or a cemetery, as I like to call them, and try to get fixed up so they can do it in just a couple years or a year, and then they can teach, and their young kids trying to teach adults how to raise children and grandchildren and live a life of God that they've never lived. In the Old Testament, you couldn't even begin to be a priest until you was 30 years old. And you couldn't begin to be a high priest until you was 50 years old. Wonder why. It takes a few years to get us to a place where we can do it right, where we get all the other stuff worked out of our life. David was called and anointed as a king when he was 17 years old. How long was it before he became king? Long time. He was past 30, I guarantee you. Long time. And God's got this pattern in there for a reason. Don't be in hurry for anything. Be anxious for what? There, that's my word, nothing.